Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find all of our newest news and updates. Our Twitter handle is @artist_first. And now on to the show.
Good evening, high school sports fans, and welcome to the NHSCA Sports Hour for January the 19th. I am Jeff Fisher, founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America, settling in for 2 hours worth of high school sports talk right here on the Artist First Radio Network. After we wrap up here on the NHSCA Sports Hour, we'll move directly into High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, tonight we're going to focus on high school football and girls basketball, plus we'll look back at last week's great NHSCA Wrestling Festival that included the great showdown between number 1 Blair Academy from New Jersey and number 2 St. Edward from Ohio. Plus, we'll look ahead to Saturday's 11th annual Final Four of Wrestling at Easton Middle School that will also feature Blair, that's going after its 10th overall national championship. Now, as far as guests on tonight's show, we'll start things off a little bit later with Addison Marshall of Foster High School in Fulshear, Texas. We'll speak with Addison and his mom about being named the winner of this year's High School Rudy Awards, which gave him a $7,500 academic scholarship. We'll also chat with the head girls basketball coach at Sacred Heart High School in East Los Angeles. Now, don't forget the 11th annual NHSCA Final Four of Wrestling will be held Saturday at Easton's Middle School in Easton, Pennsylvania. 7 top teams competing for this weekend's championship, and you can learn more by going to nhsca.com. As far as the matchups, we'll take a look at the pool round matchups. There will be 3 rounds of competition starting at 10 o'clock in the morning at the middle school. The host team, Easton, will take on Council Rock South from Pennsylvania at 10 o'clock. The other 2 matchups at 10 will be J.W. Robinson High School from Virginia taking on Collins Hill from Georgia, and Blair Academy, the top-ranked team in the country from New Jersey, taking on Delaware Valley. Then we'll move to the 11:45 matchups. That will be, again, the host team Easton taking on J.W. Robinson from Virginia. Council Rock South from Pennsylvania will take on Collins Hill from Georgia, and Blair Academy will square off with Franklin from Massachusetts. The final round of the pool play will come at 1:30. Easton taking on Collins Hill from Georgia, Council Rock South taking on J.W. Robinson, and Delaware Valley taking on Franklin. Again, you can go to nhsca.com to check out all of these matchups. Then after we get through the pool play, the quarterfinals are set for 3:15, semifinals for 5 o'clock, and then the finals and the medal matches begin at 7:30. Again, tickets are available, and you can go to nhsca.com to learn more. Want to thank our sponsors tonight, Cross Country Nation, XC Nation as it's known. They rank all of the high school cross-country teams around the country and have a great history of the sport on their website. We also want to thank Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dalamure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at last week's NHSCA Wrestling Festival won by Blair Academy in exciting fashion over Ohio's St. Edward. That and more when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines, made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network. Going to talk some wrestling here before we move into football. But, boy, last weekend was a great weekend for wrestling events all across the country. And, of course, at the top of the stack was the NHSCA Wrestling Festival at Pleasant Valley High School in the Pocono Mountains in eastern Pennsylvania. And it came down to what we thought it was going to come down to. If you're with us last week, we had head coach Jeff Buxton of Blair Academy on the show, along with Greg Urbis of St. Edward, number one versus number two. And Blair held on to that number one ranking with an exciting 27-22 victory over the Eagles of St. Edward. And take a little time here to look back over what happened, because in some ways, some feel it was a controversial match at the end. The duel started at 138 pounds, and that meant that the individual matchup of the night that everybody was looking for, Mark Gray versus Edgar Bright, would be the deciding match of the night, although we didn't know that at the start, but that's what it came down to. Blair swept through the first three bouts, no bonus points. They had a 9-0 lead, but St. Ed's won the next three with a major from Mark Martin, and that put the Eagles ahead at 10-9, and then the teams would flop regular decisions as they headed to heavyweight, and Blair was trailing by a score of 13-12. Brooks Blair pinned Edwards' Joe Belford, and that was a big turning point there. And after a regular decision at 106, St. Ed's Alex Moore posted an unexpected fall at 113 pounds, and Blair's lead was cut down to 21-19. And Joey McKenna, who started the season at 113 for Blair, ranked number three nationally at that weight, according to the open mat. He wrestled at 120, and he downed Colin Heffernan 7-1. And then that put the lead back up to 24-19. And Ed's big guy, St. Ed's big guy, Dan Heil, took a 4-1 decision. And that kind of set up the drama as Mark Gray and Edgar Bright took the mat at 138 pounds to decide it. It was a close, close match. No points were earned on a deep early shot by Gray. Then a controversial call developed at the end of the first period when Bright was awarded a takedown. He had a cradle locked up, but that was subsequently blown off after the referees and the table workers conferred. And then it went to overtime. The remainder of regulation was pretty boring. A neutral position of overtime. Gray rode out Bright before gaining a quick escape for his win with about 16 seconds to go in overtime, and that sealed Blair's 27-22 victory in the match. And again, that just solidified the fact that they are number one in the country, St. Edward remaining number two after the close bout. A couple of the other big events that took place around the country last weekend, the Virginia duels were fought, and Cannon McMillan from Pennsylvania came storming through the national bracket to win it. They did it without their two-time defending state finalist Connor Schramm at 120 pounds, but that didn't stop the Big Macs from really dominating that tournament. In Iowa City at the West duels, Apple Valley, Iowa City, Oak River Park Forest, and Marmion Academy all got together for a really great round of action there in Apple Valley. Coming through, they beat Oak Park, River Forest. They beat Marmion Academy 75-6. They did this with relative ease, and then kind of closed things out in the final round with a very impressive 40-16 win over Iowa City West. In the Eastern States Classic, Wyoming Seminary, number 9 in the country according to the open mat, no problems at all. They easily won the tournament. They won it by 89 points. So a big one there. And at the big one in Detroit, the Detroit Super Duels, the showdown came down to a Detroit Central Catholic and St. John's. And St. John's, after falling behind early, came back to win 31-21. Collins Hill, who will be in the NHSCA Final Four of Wrestling, a surprise loss in the duels. They lost it on criteria to Camden County. That one was a neck-and-neck battle. It ended in a 27-all tie, but Camden County wins it on criteria with the most pins. Collins Hill had won four straight state duel titles, and they hadn't lost a duel to a Georgia team since 2008. So Camden County pulling off the unexpected upset there in that one. And finally, we want to send out congratulations tonight to Central Dauphin out of Pennsylvania. They set the Pennsylvania state record for consecutive duel wins on Saturday. They won their 78th in a row. The previous mark was held by Dallas Town from 1983 through 1989. So congratulations to Central Dauphin. And again, congratulations to Blair Academy and St. Ed's. A great performance at the NHSCA Wrestling Festival, and Blair Academy remains on top. Let's take just a few seconds here to go through the top 10 for the open mat as far as the rankings. Again, Blair stays on top. St. Edward stays number 2. St. John's, with that big win over Detroit Central Catholic, remains at number 3. Apple Valley stays at 4. Clovis from California stays at number 5. Number 6 is Brandon from Florida, which was the spot they held last week. As we said, Cannon Mack wins the Virginia duels, and they stay at number 7. Bettendorf from Iowa is number 8. Wyoming Seminary, number 9 in the state of Pennsylvania. They're the top-ranked team in Pennsylvania right now, but they're number 9 nationally. And Detroit Central Catholic, they stay at number 10 after that close loss to St. John's. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 2011 High School Rudy Awards. We have a winner. His name is Addison Marshall from Texas. We're going to talk to him and his mom when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World: the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Back here on the NHSCA Sports Hour this evening, one of our great partners here at the NHSCA is the Inspirium Awards. Last week we had Christian Metzler on, who won the Soccer Award, a $7,500 academic scholarship for the young man from Virginia. A soccer player, plays with a prosthetic leg beneath the knee on his right side, and just a great goalie, and we spoke to him. And this week, on Sunday, we had the winner announced for the 2011 High School Rudy Award. Those inspirational football players from around the country, not always the top quarterback or running back. These are kids that are inspiring their teammates, their peers, and their community. And it was announced that the winner this year is from Texas. His name is Addison Marshall from Fulshear, Texas, in Foster. He has been battling leukemia for the last 2.5 years, and Addison was able to fight his way all the way back from the initial diagnosis to getting on the field for his final game of his senior season. He actually played the entire second half from his defensive end position, and in just a few minutes here, we're going to talk with Addison and his mom. As a matter of fact, Addison is still receiving treatments, and we're going to be talking to him from the hospital. We will actually play the entire interview on High School Football America coming up at 7 o'clock, but we're going to give you a little bit of a portion of that. Addison, just an interesting young man who has really overcome a lot of odds. We want to congratulate all 12 of our finalists. So the runners-up, and all of the runners-up, there are four of them, will receive a $2,500 academic scholarship. The runners-up are Quentin Anderson from Joplin, Missouri, Shane Halpin from Gulf Breeze, Florida, Rashawn King from Raleigh, North Carolina, and Caleb Mackey from Afton, Oklahoma. Winning the fan favorite in the voting was Ryan Anderson from Kent, Ohio. He receives a $1,500 academic scholarship. You may remember we had Ryan on the show earlier this year. He was one of the top offensive linemen in the state of Ohio, but in April he was diagnosed with a very rare form of bone cancer, and it has ended his career. He will not be going on to college, where he's getting a lot of looks from Division I schools. He is fighting the disease and determined to beat it, and in the process he spent a lot of time with the team throughout the season on the sidelines and helping coach. And congratulations to Ryan. He is the fan favorite, receiving that $1,500 academic scholarship. And then the finalist who end up getting a $1,000 academic scholarship are Andrea Marsh from Panama, New York. We talked to Andrea. She's that little tiny girl who's a cornerback. Yeah, she goes out there and trades blows with offensive linemen and tight ends and running backs, and she wins that $1,000 academic scholarship. The other finalists who receive $1,000, Taylor McKnight from Canyon Country, California, Dasmond Patterson from Plant City, Florida, Matt Rinneker of Luxembourg, Ohio, and Juan Diego Temple from San Juan Capistrano in California, and Andrew Thomas from Chads Ford, Pennsylvania. Again, congratulations to all 12 of the finalists, and again, congratulations to Addison Marshall. And let's take a few moments here to listen to an interview I did earlier this week with Addison from the hospital with his mom, and he said he is just tickled to death that he was named this year's 2011 High School Rudy Award winner. Well, let's talk about, you know, football and obviously battling the leukemia. So, you know, what did you decide early on about, you know, what was more important, football or the battle? And I know you went and you supported the team a lot. So how did you kind of make that decision, and what did you do to make sure that you were there to inspire your teammates by showing up day in and day out, no matter what you were going through?
I just kind of wanted to show the team that, I mean, really, there can't be any excuses for not showing up to a practice or not doing anything, because I was still at all of them and I was undergoing chemo, and I just wanted to inspire everybody to just like go all in. And I mean, you'd be really surprised what can happen whenever you're just trying your hardest and everyone's just working together.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Addison Marshall tonight on the show. He's the 2011 winner of the High School Rudy Award. He receives a $7,500 college academic scholarship, a senior defensive end at Foster. And I mentioned when we brought you on the show here, we did some stats that are different than football stats. It wasn't yards rushing. It was, you know, 140 doses of chemo and 22 blood transfusions and all that. But you were able to get back on the field for the second half of your final game in your senior season. Tell me a little bit about the drive to get back onto the field. I mean, how difficult was that given what you've gone through?
Well, in the beginning, it was, I just felt terrible all the time, and I wasn't working out or eating right, just none of that kind of stuff. And then a couple months in, I was like, I gotta change this because I feel awful. And then so I kept on working out with the team. I'd run with them. I mean, I'd throw up like every day from being nauseous from the chemo and running, but I just felt so much better after it. And I knew that I would eventually get the chance to come back on the field. So it just that thought alone really drove me to.
Well, can you paint a kind of a verbal picture for our listeners? So what goes through your mind? You're standing there on the sidelines. You know you're going to get in. What's going through your mind waiting to go on? And when you finally step on off the sidelines onto the field, can you kind of take the listeners through that, through what happened and your feelings?
I was kind of in shock that I was even getting the chance to go back out there, and I didn't even think it was really going to happen at first, but then it finally did, and I just went out and everyone was like chanting my name in the stands, and it was just really emotional to just be back out there.
Well, when he was diagnosed, when we found out that the ribs had cracked because of his spleen having 93% leukemia, I actually went out in the parking lot and sat on a bench and cried and screamed, "Why can't it be me?" Because I had tremendous guilt that we kept telling them. I'm sure he was playing all these different positions when he was hit. We were like, "Oh," I mean, he kept saying, "No, I wasn't hit there. I wasn't hit there." And so you have tremendous guilt, and you would do anything to change places. The oncologist said, you know, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, but it takes a lot of time and probably therapy to think that it's not your, that you obviously don't have control, but you're, oh yeah, I remember talking to one oncologist going, I gave him popsicles, did that have dye in it? He liked bacon as a little kid, said, you know, he went barefoot in the backyard from the beginning. You just tried, you want to blame something,
right?
Not someone, but something. And researchers have looked me in the eye and say, we don't know.
Wow.
So
it's a lot of things at once.
Yeah. I think I speak for many parents. You just have a lot of, you're in shock and you would do anything to switch.
Sure. We're talking with Val Marshall. She is the mom of Addison Marshall. Addison, as you just heard a few moments ago, is the winner of the 2011 High School Rudy Award. You know, it's not about tackles or block punts or anything like that. It's about inspiring others, and that's what Addison's done. And we're here talking to his mom a little bit about that. So, and we can talk about many different things, but I'd love to ask you this question, which is, and you talked about the emotion you went through. He talked about his emotion when he found out. Could you ever have conceived at the time the news was announced that Addison would have kind of climbed the ladder as he has with this? Not only, you know, his very strong will to battle the disease, but also to help others. I mean, is there any way to put that in perspective, how you kind of pictured him fighting this disease, and how did, you know, your picture match what the reality is right now?
I think that was one of my concerns. He was 15, almost 16, and he was very shy, and I was concerned that he, of course, all of us learned along the way, and as a 15-year-old really doesn't want mommy over his shoulders, and especially in a situation like this, I think he taught me the greatest gift I could give him is to back off and let it be about him and how the way he wanted to proceed. And he had always done well in school and was very motivated. The only season he didn't play football was after we moved from outside of New Orleans to Houston because of Katrina. That was obviously a total surprise. We didn't anticipate that. And I have a picture that's actually on his girlfriend's parents' refrigerator. And he's a chubby little only a mama could love caption. And I look back to that and I think, wow, I never would have thought that little sixth grader had the guts deep within, because he's chubby, but he's got a happy smile, and I'm thinking he just went through being totally uprooted, missing all of his friends terribly, but he grieved a little bit and, you know, dusted himself off and went, okay, Texas football, I think that's supposed to be fun. Yeah, let's go with that, yeah. And I think a lot of it is the mentoring he's had with his football coaches. His junior high coach still comes over and sees him and actually did a big march. They did 80 miles march last summer in the July Texas heat in support for Addison at a really critical time that Addison was very ill. And the coaches that he has, I really have to give them the credit for being the mentor that he obviously had it inside. But I think for the mom to step back and say, this isn't about me, you know, I'm about getting them to the hospital and calling teachers and be sure he has his homework, and I can facilitate that, but I have to respect the ball and step away.
That was Addison Marshall and his mom, Val, as they talk about winning the 2011 High School Rudy Awards. Again, go to highschoolrudyawards.com to learn more. Addison, just a fine young man who has not only, you know, met this disease head on, he has helped others who are battling the same thing that he is. So congratulations to Addison. And again, there's more to that interview, and that entire interview with Addison and his mom can be listened to coming up here in just a few minutes on High School Football America that starts at 7 o'clock at the top of the hour. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to head to California and tell you about the story of a small Catholic school there, Sacred Heart High School in East Los Angeles, that does not have a gym, so they have to walk to a rec center to practice and play their games, and along the way, they meet a lot of very not your typical things that a high school basketball team goes through. This is the NHSEA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
Pentech USA Electronic Percussion. American made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Pentech and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Pentech if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Pentech USA.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Back here on the NHSCA Sports Hour this evening, just talked a little bit of wrestling as the Final Four comes to Pennsylvania this week with the number one team in the country, Blair Academy, in the house looking to win its 10th overall national championship. And now we're going to switch some gears here and switch over to some girls basketball and a wonderful story I read about earlier this week in the LA Times. Bill Plaschke wrote it. It's titled Sacred Heart High School Girls Go the Extra Mile, but it's no walk in the park. It's about the Sacred Heart high school girls basketball team in East LA that does not have a gym. And we're going to get into some of the things that that causes for the school and for the players and specifically for the coach himself. And Greg Nakashima joins me right now to talk about this article and educate us a little bit on what his girls go through to play the game of hoops. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. It was such an interesting article, and I have spent some time in South L.A., so I know about situations where, like Dorsey High School, you know, you've got the gang element and some things that kids have to overcome. So let's educate before we go into the specifics a little bit about where Sacred Heart High School is located, a little bit about the school, and then we'll get into the game itself and the walk to the rec center to practice and play your games.
It's located east of downtown L.A., and in the neighborhood of Lincoln Heights. And the school is about a little less than a mile away from the park at which the girls go to practice. And on their way to practice, it can get a little, well, unusual, so to say, from girls being harassed by guys in their cars blaring music to things that happen in unusual circumstances, ambulances on the side and things happening that they have to see and kind of watch as they run to the park.
So I guess it builds up a little bit of, you know, teamwork there, just having the girls go together, because I did read in the article by Bill Plaschke that there was one incident where one of the girls went on her own and there was she was kind of harassed in a bigger way. So tell me a little bit about how it bonds the girls together, that less than mile trip to the gym.
Yeah, you know, it's always a safety thing when the girls have to go from school to practice, and so they run together just so that they're not by themselves and nothing can happen. And sometimes they have to run a little faster, so you know, people in the cars don't bother them or harass them. And they tell me stories while I drive the car with all their gear because, you know, they get picked up at the gym, and so they toss their bags and their books in my car, and sometimes, you know, I'll follow them or meet them there, and it can get a little dangerous sometimes, get a little worried, but they get to practice, and then we do what we got to do.
So how do you think it helps these young ladies, you know, prepare for the future? Because obviously high school is all about the future, college and life beyond that. So with them having to deal with some of these situations that they're dealing with day in and day out to play the game they love, you know, what do you think they learn and pick up out of this?
You know, I think it gives them a sense of commitment and dedication when there are things that get in the way. You know, when they're going to the park and they have things that happen, they figure out how to work as a group, as a team, in order to get where they need to get to. And I think that's just metaphorical in the sense of, you know, there's a lot of barriers and challenges, and these students, they come from an area where things outside don't think highly about them. And so really, as a coach, I try to push that, you know what, they can do what other people may not think they can do. And so, you know, when you have barriers, when you have challenges, struggles, things that get in your way, when you're in a group, in a team setting that can support each other and that can be together, they can accomplish what they need to do.
Talking with Greg Nakashima tonight, the head coach at Sacred Heart High School, talking about a great story in the LA Times about the program and some of the hurdles that these girls overcome. And what are some of the things that you had to adjust as you take over as the coach? Obviously, you know, mostly it's always X's and O's, and sometimes a coach is a parent in a lot of ways, but this goes a little bit more. So what have you learned about yourself through this situation of coaching the girls?
It's been challenging, because it's not only been about the X and O's, as you've said, trying to figure out how to work with what you have. We don't get the gym all 5 days of the week for practice, and so we have an outdoor court outside of our school. It's the asphalt that we have to work and run our things on. When it rains or drizzles, it gets a little dangerous. We have an auditorium, and in the auditorium there's no hoops, and so we're trying to make use of the wall, and rather than shooting in, on a hoop, we, you know, shoot what we call wall shots, where, you know, they practice their form on the wall or they're on the high pillars, you know, working on their arch, and getting the ball up and working on their form, doing that, and then working through sets or defensive things, or, you know, finding out what the team can work on with what we have. And I think that has pushed me to be more creative. It's really challenged me on trying to figure out, you know, what I need to do to best lead these girls to be successful, not only in basketball but in life.
Sure. I mean, obviously, the situation you just described in the school itself there when it rains, that's not in Basketball 101, the book, is it?
There's a lot of things that we have to take into consideration when it comes to practice time. The weather, which is really odd when we're talking about basketball, you know, and getting rained out for practice. Sometimes, you know, we're in the classroom and running through X and O's and having like little Nerf hoops or whatnot, trying to go through things, and it's pretty ridiculous when I first thought of it. But you know, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, well, you know, and now it's getting a lot of play because it was in the LA Times, and I'll ask you about the article in a second. Let's talk about the girls a little bit and give some props by name here. Tell me a little bit about the makeup of this team, how you're doing so far this year, and some of the girls that are leaders on this program.
You know, the girls that are my captains really step up. They lead on and off the court, and that's what I really get a kick from these athletes. A lot of them are doing well in school, but then I have some that, you know, maybe not doing as well. And so when things don't go our way, the team adapts. And so we've had some players, you know, not having to play some games, and there have been players that stepped up huge. I had one of my the new varsity players, and she stepped up, and she was a JV player earlier, and we had to bring her up, and you know, she's improving a lot. And the work ethic is something that I really get a kick out of these girls. They work hard, whether it's in the gym or whether it's outside, and they're getting all dirty because the balls are you know, blackening their hands from all the dust from the asphalt, and they're diving on loose balls outside on the concrete. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing that, you know, when I look, these girls are tough. You know, these girls are tough, and they're gonna work hard day in and day out. And you know, one of the things that they want to be known for is, well, our school is Sacred Heart. They want to be known for having the most heart on the floor, and that's what they're doing.
Let's talk a little bit and educate the listeners. I know Bill Plaschke, in his article that he wrote in the LA Times, was talking that you only have 4 home games. You have some time limits on that, 2 hours. Some kind of funny stories he tells in there as to, you know, at the end of the game when you're singing the alma mater, sometimes you're interrupted by people coming out getting ready to use the court after that. I guess in one instance you were talking to the team and there were some gang members standing off to the side. Unique type of stories that are probably, you know, just to you itself. Any other stories come to mind that people would just go, wow, that's not normal basketball?
Yeah, you know, being at the park, you know, there's people always coming through, and it's during practice, you know, there's kids coming through, there's, you know, teenagers that want to play, and it's a constant struggle for me to say, hey, you know what, we have this gym from this time to this time, and, you know, sometimes we'll be in big groups, and I'll ask them, and it's like I keep on say, hey, we got to get you guys out, and, you know, it takes about 10, 20, 30 minutes just to address these things throughout practice, getting, you know, these people out of the gym so I can at least have the girls focus. Sometimes, you know, there's young men in there, and, you know, they're staring, and it makes the girls uncomfortable, and,
sure,
you know, and I can't blame them, and so I got to, you know, do my best to kick them out, but it's not really our gym. You know, it's the park's gym, and though we have for that time, it could be a challenge to just make it.
Sure.
You know, the practice time just for us.
Sure. We're talking with Greg Nakashima tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour from Sacred Heart High School in East Los Angeles, the school without a home that we're talking about right now. So let's talk about the possibilities. The school's been around for 105 years without a gym. What are the odds of somebody coming in, a benefactor or the diocese, and building one in the near future?
You know, that's our hope. You know, that's our hope, because you know, we've been trying to get money to raise for a gym, and, you know, there's been things that have held us back. I know the economy, you know, it's gone down, and there was a big push a couple of years ago, and you know, benefactors and donors, you know, they didn't have the resources to continue supporting us, and so it's been put on hold. And so, you know, we're really hoping that we can, you know, get our own gym and not have these challenges and being able to just work on basketball rather than, you know, all the other things that we have to deal with.
Yeah, lessons in life. So how has the article by Bill Plaschke affected you? Have you gotten any calls? Obviously, I'm picking up the phone to call you to put you on the show, but I mean, what's the response been to the article itself?
You know, I haven't been a part of that. You know, we've had games and practices, so I've been really just focusing on the team. I know the AD and the principal has had calls, but I'm not too sure as far as specifics on that.
Sure. How do you feel the article itself came out? Did you like it? What was portrayed and the message that was in the story?
You know, it's interesting because when I read the article, when I reflect on what kind of situation this is, it's truly different and unusual from what I was, what I was used to before here. And now it's that's how it is for us. And, you know, what is usual for us is so unusual to everyone out there. And I thought it did a well job of portraying, you know, what these girls have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really weird for me to read it and think this is our usual for us.
And that's a good way to wrap it up. It's the usual for you guys. Well, Coach Nakashima, I really appreciate you taking the time to introduce your school to our listeners and wish you the best of luck. And, you know, hopefully something comes out of these articles or interviews that leads somebody to say, boy, this school needs a gym and start something rolling for you. So good luck with the rest of the season, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate being on here and for you to host me. It was truly a privilege.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome. That is Greg Nakashima, the head coach at Sacred Heart High School. If you want to learn more and read the article by Bill Plaschke, go to the LA Times. The article's name is Sacred Heart High School. Girls go the extra mile, but it's no walk in the park as they go through gang-infested neighborhoods to go from the school to a gym that they rent. It's a wonderful story, and you can learn more. You can also go to the blog at nhscasportshour.blogspot.com. I put some stuff up there and links to the story. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some boys basketball, that and more. When we come back, this is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Do not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to the Artist First Network, a weekly program featuring the best independent artists anywhere.
Damn it, get the hell out of my kitchen.
You just hit the Artist First Network. Now you're going to jail for assault.
This is the Artist First Network, the network of independent artists. Each week, the Artist First Network brings you the newest and brightest independent and undiscovered artists.
Hi, the latest project was recorded. I can get through this. Can we keep it rolling?
Hi, this is Big Daddy, Big Daddy and the Generator. This next cut is called Baby, You're So Hot. Cut. Damn it, Jim. All right, here, give me another crack at that one. Quit laughing. mean?
Where's the web? I told you. www.artistfirst.com.
Welcome to the Artist First Network.
Pentec USA Electronic Percussion. American-made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Pentec and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Pentec if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Pentec USA.
Well, now it's time to go around the country to check out some of the news from the week gone by here on the NHSCA Sports Hour. Tonight we're going to start in West Virginia, where for the first time since 2008, Summers County High School's girls basketball team has tasted defeat. Saturday night, Scott High School beat the Bobcats 72-55 to end the school's West Virginia State record win streak at 105 straight victories. Summers County entered the game ranked number one in the state in AA, while Scott was number two. Summers County has won five straight AA state championships. Now, to take a look at the all-time basketball win streaks, they came up a little short to set a national record, quite a bit short. The team with the longest consecutive win streak ever in America is Baskin High School out of Louisiana. Those girls won 215 straight games. To go down the list of top 10 teams, actually it's 11 because there's a couple of ties in there. Moneta High School from South Carolina won 154 straight. Duncanville from Texas and Butler Taylor County in Georgia won 134 straight. Valdosta Lowndes in Georgia won 122 straight. Nashua owned a 120-game win streak. Shelby Central in Tennessee won 110 straight. Millersburg West Holmes in Ohio won 108 straight. Williamstown, Vermont 107. And then a tie at number 10, Midway South Carolina and Orem Mountain View in Utah both had won 106 games straight. But congratulations to the Summers County High School girls, 105. Five straight, quite a record there in West Virginia, and we will have their head coach on the show next week. Now we move to Indiana, still talking some basketball. State Senator Mike Delf of Carmel dropped a portion of a bill on Wednesday that would have returned Indiana to a single-class high school basketball tournament. Now, until 1998, the Hoosier State crowned only one champion with every school, no matter what the size, playing against each other, which of course led to that movie called Hoosiers when a tiny Milan High School won the single-class tournament back in 1954. The school's enrollment was only 164 students at the time, and the school remains the smallest ever to win a Indiana single-class championship. Now, Delf has reached an agreement with the Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner Bobby Cox to invoke public input on the topic. Delf says he's kind of taking a little bit of faith right now with the IHSAA and that they will take it seriously to look at the current system, which he feels has failed miserably, and that's a quote from a published report this week. The four-class system has been in place since 1998. Now, in a quote from Delp, he said that they are committed to revisiting the issue with the public, and he has full confidence that they will take a look at it in a public forum, and the bottom line is that this is bigger than the IHSAA, he says. Basketball is part of the culture of Indiana and part of the fabric of the state, and it's really what unifies the entire state. Now, the State Senate Education Committee was set to vote on the bill Wednesday afternoon that also includes provisions to prevent districts from starting their school year before Labor Day and a requirement that they teach cursive writing in the state. Now, the state athletic commissioner Cox says that it's likely that he will travel the state and discuss the tournament in a format, sort of in a town hall type of setting. He's not set a timetable yet for that, but Delf says that invoking the public input is a good first step. And in a final quote from Delf, he says, "I think it's a good time to revisit the tournament format. There's a great passion for basketball in our state. If you see it with Butler over the last couple of years at the college level and the revival of Indiana this year, you know that there's a large appetite out there for a high school, you know, level where you've got that single class tournament." And he thinks that the opportunity to have the public comment on it will go a long way to maybe changing the system. Now, sticking with basketball, the annual Spalding Hoop Hall Classic was played over the weekend in Springfield, Massachusetts. A lot of the nation's top teams were on hand to try and sort out the national championship chase. Now, thanks to Finley Prep out of Henderson, Nevada's 25-point win over the former number one in the Max Preps Top 25, Simeon out of Chicago, St. Anthony, the defending champ out of Jersey City, New Jersey, is back on top in the latest Max Preps Excellent 25 High School Boys Basketball Rankings. St. Anthony currently on a 45-game win streak, moved to the top of the rankings after a solid 60-48 win over Miller Grove, also in Springfield. Miller Grove out of Lithonia, Georgia. That tournament really came to a conclusion with four big nationally televised games on Monday. Simeon fell to number 7 after its first loss of the season. Now the biggest climber this week, another Nevada team, Bishop Gorman out of Las Vegas. The Gales climbed 11 spots after a 73-63 win over former number 3 DeMatha. So this week, Bishop Gorman is ranked number 13, and they will take on Finley Prep, the number 1 academy team in Max Prep's poll. That will take place this weekend, so a big game in Nevada. Let's take a look at the top 10, at least, in the Max Preps. And you can go to our blog at nhscasportshour.blogspot.com to see all the top 25. Ranked number 1 again at St. Anthony out of New Jersey. Grace Prep from Texas comes in at number 2. Marcus from Texas comes in at 3. Milton from Georgia, 4. Gonzaga from Washington, D.C., number 5. DeMatha, number 6 out of Maryland. Simeon, the former number 1 team, falls 6 places to number 7. Chester High School out of Pennsylvania comes in at number 8. Number 9 is Southwind High School in Tennessee, and number 10 is Ridgeway High School out of Tennessee. Again, go to the blog to check out all of the rankings there, 1 through 25. And we'll wrap up with some hockey news, and we go to Minnesota, where 2 weeks after a Minnesota hockey player was paralyzed from the neck down after a check from behind, the state's high school sports governing body has taken really stiff action to stiffen penalties for 3 different penalties. Now, it all started with Monday's games. The Minnesota State High School League says that players called for a check from behind, boarding, or head contact will get at least a 5-minute major penalty. Now, according to a news release placed on the site on the governing body's website, the penalties for the 3 infractions of the rules have been significantly increased in an effort to thwart players from making dangerous hits on the ice. The rules change, it comes after Benilde St. Margaret sophomore hockey player Jack Jablonski was paralyzed from crashing headfirst into the boards after a check from behind. So I think some good moves there in Minnesota to get to safety first and foremost in hockey in that state. Going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. You're listening to the NHSEA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Chepsik, and I am a co-producer and co-host of Crime Beat, Issues, Personalities, and Controversies from the Dark Side. We hope you can join my co-producer and co-host, Willie Hareb, and me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We will take you into the back alleys and boardrooms of the world's most fascinating subject, crime. We have a diverse group of guests on the show who will talk about a wide range of fascinating subjects. They include organized crime, drug trafficking, government corruption, sports scandals, victims' rights, and crime as it relates to the war on terror. Our shows are timely and always stimulating. So we hope you can tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. for another Dynamite program about crime. Past shows are available free. Visit artistfirst.com. Stay tuned.
Adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to the Artist First Network, a weekly program featuring the best independent artists anywhere.
Damn it, get the hell out of my kitchen.
Just hit the Artist First Network. Now you're going to jail for assault.
This is the Artist First Network, the network of independent artists. Each week, the Artist First Network brings you the newest and brightest of independent and undiscovered artists.
Hi, the latest project was recorded. I can get through this. Can we keep it rolling?
Hi, this is Big Daddy, Big Daddy and the Generator. This next cut is called Baby, You're So Hot. Cut. Damn it. Damn it, Jim. Alright, here, give me another crack at that one. Quit laughing at me.
Where's the web? I told you. www.artistfirst.com.
Welcome to the Artist First Network.
Time to wrap things up here on the NHSCA Sports Hour for this evening. We want to thank our guests, Addison Marshall and his mom, Val, of Foster High School in Fulshear, Texas. Addison is the 2011 winner of the High School Rudy Awards, and both stopping by to tell us a little bit about the honor that has been bestowed upon them. And more importantly, if you stick around here for High School Football America, we will have the full interview with Addison and his mom. And, you know, they're still going through the leukemia battle, and as a matter of fact, when we taped the interview, that interview was taped while Addison was actually going through his chemo treatment. So congratulations to Addison Marshall. To learn about the 12 finalists and how they stacked up at the end, go to highschoolrudyawards.com. We also want to thank the head coach of the Sacred Heart girls basketball team in East Los Angeles, Greg Nakashima, and Greg was just really great at explaining the story that came out of the Los Angeles Times by sports columnist Bill Plaschke, writing about how his girls, after they leave school, they have to walk about a mile to go to a gym that they rent at a local nearby rec center, and all the trials and tribulations of what they go through just to get to practice, where they walk through gang-infested neighborhoods, and just a real interesting story out of East Los Angeles. Also want to remind everybody that this Saturday in Easton, Pennsylvania, it's the 11th annual NHSCA Final Four of Wrestling. Action gets underway at 10 o'clock in the morning. Tickets are available. 7 of the top teams from the country are competing this weekend, including number 1 Blair Academy from New Jersey. Other teams that are in the field, it's the host Eastern Red Rovers, always a tough team to beat. Council Rock South from Pennsylvania, J.W. Robinson from Virginia, Collins Hill from the state of Georgia, and Delaware Valley from Pennsylvania, along with Franklin High School from Massachusetts. Quarterfinals after the pool play will get started at 3:15, semis at 5, and then the finals and medal matches come up at 7:30. Want to thank all of our sponsors tonight. XCNation.com, CrossCountryNation.com is your spot for all that is cross-country, boys and girls style in America. We also want to thank Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dollemure, and All-American Wrestling Supplies. I want to thank Corey King back in the studios in Ohio for keeping everything running smoothly. And this is Jeff Fisher saying good night and good sports from Chicago. We'll talk to you next week. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.